The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema, Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות.
דף למדבט. תראי, דף is being spread לעילוי נשמת, מרת זקנתי, יפה בת שרה. ומול זקני ויוסף בן שרה ואברהם בן אסתר רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן אמן תזף את בן אסתר רפואה שלמה משה בן דינה משה בן רחל ושרה רחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל אין לה לפעלה להם לפעלה להם פשוט הגוף פועתם קרבה לבוא וכן ירעשו ולומר אמן ובגין תראי לי נו משנה שזה נו פרק פרק שביעי מסכת סוטה starting with the beginning of the משנה אלו נאמרים, אני משנה בגינס, אלו נאמרים בכל לשון. The following recitations can be said בכל לשון, meaning in any language does not necessarily have to be לשון הקודש. According to תוספות, תוספות's גרסה is אלו נאמרים בלשונם. It's a big difference. תוספות says הוא פירוש כל אדם בלשונו שהוא שומע. Which means there has to be a language that he understands. So you can't just say it in any foreign language. It has to be a language that he understands. That's why it says Bilshonam in their languages, as opposed to Bechol Lashon, that would sound like you could say it in any language, even if it's a language you do not understand. In any event, the Gemara now, the Mishnah begins to list. Number one, Parashat Sota, which means the Kohen has to warn the lady and give a whole recitation exactly what's going to happen to her, etc., etc. So all that is said Bechol Lashon. Now why would you think it needs to be done B'Lashon HaKodesh? So she says on the third line, B'lo Amrinan Tzarich Lomra B'Lashon HaKodesh Kederich Shenichtav. Which means the way you write it on the klaf before you erase it in the water, obviously you have to write it in Lashon HaKodesh. So you might have thought that you actually have to recite it in Lashon HaKodesh. That's why the Mishnah comes along and says, no, the writing is one deen and the recitation is another deen. So that is the Parashah Sota is בכל לשון, ווידוי מעשר. That she explains us, what is וידוי מעשר? Literally means the confession of the מעשר. In the third year of the Shemitah cycle, a person has to catch up with all his מעשרות to make sure that he gave his מעשרות for the first 3 years of the Shemitah. And he has to come along and he has to confess, make a confession that what? ביארתי הקודש מן הבית, that I got rid of all the things that are קודש, I got rid of it, which means I paid all the מעשרות to the proper place. Actually, the Pasuk says, Bi'arti HaKodesh. So the Gemara says that that's referring to Ma'asir Sheni. Ve'gam netativ la-Levi, that's talking about Ma'asir Rishon, la-ger la-yatom al-mana, ze Ma'asir Ani. So if he has to say that he went and gave his Ma'asir Sheni, that means he took his Ma'asir Sheni, brought up to Yerushalayim, and he ate it over there, Ma'asir Rishon, he gives 10% to the Levi. Ma'asir Ani, in the third year of Shemitah, he has to give 10% to the Ani. Instead of Ma'asir Shini, he gives Ma'asir Ani. In any event, in the third year, he has to make this recitation. Again, it's called Vidui Ma'asir, and that's to be, it could be done Bechol Nasur, it could be done in any language. The next item is Kiryat Shema. Okay, that's the Kiryat Shema Utfilah. So from the law, technically Kiryat Shema can be done in any language, as well as Tefilah, meaning the Amidah. Uberkat Amazon. Okay, Birkat HaMazon also can be made in any language. Ushvu'at ha'edut, which means when a person is making a shivua, which means, let's say, his friend asks him to testify for him, okay, for on a monetary case of some sort, and let's say he swore falsely. He said, I don't know any testimony on this case over here. So he's asking, do me a favor, I need you to be a witness for me. Because I swear I don't know anything about the case. And he swore falsely. So even though the Shavuah was done in not Lashon HaKodesh, it was considered still Shavuah Ta'edut, and therefore he is liable. For that matter, he's chayav a korban, obviously, in that case. The halakha says that if a person swears, shivata ayidut, he has to be korban ole v'yored. That's a special korban. In any event, there's another type of shivua called shivata pikadon, which means, let's say a person is kofer. The guy says, you owe me money. The guy says, no, I don't owe you anything, or I gave you something to watch. He says, no, you never gave me anything, I don't know what you're talking about. And he makes a shivua. So therefore he's going to be Hayav Korban Asham Gezelot, if indeed he is found to be swearing falsely. The Hadush over here is that the swear is made in any language, and if he's lying, he's going to be held liable. Okay, so those are the two types of Shivuot. The Elu Ne'emarim B'Lashon HaKodesh. The following items can only be said in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. Mikra Bikurim. Okay, a person would bring his first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, as said in the beginning of Parashat Kitavo. And over there it tells us that there's a special recitation that is done. That is the recitation of the Pasuk starting with Arami, Oved, Avi. He talks about his ancestors, Al-Lavan, tried to kill Yaakov Rabinu, and the whole thing over there. So that is done Dafka, Benashon, HaKodesh. Rashi says over here, Shaya Korem, Arami, Oved, Avi, Ad Sof, Kol HaParasha. I was going to prove each one, how do you know, has to be done in the Lashon HaKodesh. V'Halitza, okay, in the law of Halitza, which we learned in Masechet Yevamot, the lady has to tell the man, Me'en Yabemi. He refuses to make Yibum to me. That has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. And then, after that, he has to answer back, Lo Hafasti Lekahta. And then, right, he says, I don't want to take her. And then after they say, Kacha Ya'aseh La'ish, they read that Pasuk also, and they call him Bet Halusa Nahal. So therefore, all that is done, that ceremony in Lashon HaKodesh. Berachot Uklalot. Now, the Berachot that were given on the two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eival, that were done in the times of Yoshua. That was also done in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, question might be asked on this case over here, who cares? Which means all these other cases over here, you're giving me halachot. Masha'inken, the case of Yeshua, when they made the curses on the two mounds, which we'll discuss at length in the Mishnah, you're telling me that that was done also in Lashon HaKodesh. Normally the Gemara would ask on such a statement, Maida Hava Hava, which means what happened, happened. What's enough coming up for us to know whether they did those kilalot in Lashon HaKodesh or they did it Bechol Lashon. I mean, it's just a historical fact. So the Mefarshim say over here, if you're going to see in the Mishnah as well as the Gemara, a lot of the laws of the Mishnah are learned from the Kelalot of Yoshua, which is they're going to make Gezerah Shavah, just like Yoshua when he made the Kelalot in the times of Har Gerizim and Har Eival. It was done by Lashon HaKodesh. So too, other items. So you need to know what happened there in order to learn from there to other cases of our Mishnah. So it might not mean Nogea for itself, but it's Nogea to learn from there to other situations. And we'll discuss this Kelalot in a moment, and the Mishnah will discuss it at length. Furthermore, Birkat Kohanim. Okay, that's referring to when the Kohanim, they go up, they bless the people, right? The Siyat Kapayim, as she says, Ubirkat Kohen Gadol. The blessing of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, after he finishes Avodat HaYom, in the Kodesh Kodeshim, he comes along and makes this Birkat on the Sefer Torah, when he reads the Sefer, and he makes 8 Berachot, according to the Gemara that we learned in Yomah. Comes the, that's not also in the Lashon HaKodesh, Parashat HaMelech. That's Parashat HaKel. The Parashah of HaKel was read, Parashat Devarim, actually Sefer Devarim was read by the king every 7 years, right? At the end of the 7 years on the holiday of Sukkot, there was a special gathering in Yerushalayim called HaKel, and the Kohen would, I mean the Melech, the king would read, special reading, and that would be done in the Lashon HaKodesh. That's called Parashat HaMelech, that was done in HaKel. Or Parashat Agla Arufa. Okay, that's if they found a dead body between two cities, and they don't know from which city it came from, so they measure the body to the closest city, and then the zekinim of that city have to come along and say, Yadenu lo shafechu, right, the damage, we did not, our hands were not involved in this death of it. So the recitation is done with Lashon HaKodesh. Umashua milhama b'sha'a shemidaber ila'am. Before the Jewish people go out to war, there was a special Kohen, he was called the Kohen Mashiach Melchama, that we would give them a talk. Yeah. The soldiers before they would go out to war, like the Pasuk says, Ve'amar aleihem Shema Yisrael, Atem kerevim ayom le'melchama al oyvechem, Ad Yerach Lebetchem, no Piskin, so on and so forth. Then he would start to tell them the exemptions. Whoever just got engaged can go home. Whoever just built the house can go home and so on and so forth. So all that was done in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay? Now the Mishnah starts to elaborate. Mikra Bikurim Ketza. Right? You told me Mikra Bikurim. What's the law? Which means really this Ketza is like a Minayim. How do you know that Mikra Bikurim is a recitation instead of the Talmud of Bikurim is done Be'afka Be'lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara says Ve'anita Ve'amarta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. The Pasuk says Ve'anita, and you will answer or you will utter in front of Hashem, the Pasukim of Arami or Vedavim, that whole business over there. The Talmud of Bikurim, the Musar is that they didn't only want you to thank God for the fruit that you got, but they want you to review all of history and use this as an opportunity to thank God for all the good things that God has done, not only to us, but to the nation at large. That's why we start. And there was a time when Laban hated us, and he tried to kill Yaakov Avinu, and you saved him from that, and then we went down to Mislaim, and then you saved us from Paro, and so on and so forth. So therefore, this recitation is done in Lashon HaKodesh, and the Gemara proves it, Prisat proves it, because it says, Va'anita Ba'amarta. So what does that teach you? So the Mishnah continues, Ulananu Omer, Va'anu Al-Viyim Va'amiru. By the curses that were done on those two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which we learned they were done in Lashon HaKodesh, it says over there, Va'anu Al-Viyim. And the Leviim answer. So, Ma Le'alam B'Lashon HaKodesh Afkam B'Lashon HaKodesh. We have a Gezerah Shava. One Pasuk says Va'anita, one Pasuk says Va'anu. So therefore, just like over there was done B'Lashon HaKodesh, the curses and the Berachot, so to my Bikurim also as well. Halitza Ketzal. What's the source that Halitza is done B'Lashon HaKodesh? Va'anta Ve'amera. Again, it says, and the lady will answer and say, Me'en Yabimi, that he does not want to make you boom. And what does it say by the curses? By how to get his human out of the Anu Alvim. Ma la'alan b'shon HaKodesh Afkan b'shon HaKodesh. So again, you have another Gezerah Shava, Ve'aneta Ve'anu. So you see, as I told you, that although you might not learn anything from the fact that the curses themselves were said by Lashon HaKodesh, but you learn from there to Halitha, you learn from there to the law of Bikurim as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ve'aneta Ve'amera Kacha. Ad she'tomar b'lashon hazeh. Which means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need to get to that Shema. The Pasuk says by Yevamot, by the case of Halitza, that she will answer kacha. Kacha teach me like this. So if the word kacha teach me, it's got to be done b'lashon HaKodesh. It's got to be like this, as it's written in the Torah. So he goes with the word kacha. Now, berachot uklanot ketzah. Now, what was the story over there with these blessings and these curses that were done on these two famous mountains? So the Gemara says, Ketza. Kevad Shabru Yisrael Tayardein, when the Jewish people crossed the Jordan River, Ubao Elar Grizim Velar Eval, Shibis Shomron, they went to these two mountains in the Shomron region, Shibisad Shechem, that was next to the city of Shechem, Shibetzel Elonee Moreh. Right? Was really, as she says, Shibis Shomron, was Etzel Shomron, next to Shomron, by the place called Elonee Moreh. Shnei Emar, how do we know that? Because it says, Halohema Be'Ever HaYarden. The Pasuk says that when Ever HaYarden, the Torah gives us the exact location. It says, Ahare Derech Vavah, Shemesh Beres HaKerani Yoshiv Ha'alam, Amul HaGilgal Etzel Elonei Mamre. The Pasuk clearly says that it was, these curses were done in the place called Elonei Mamre, or actually next to it. Lalu Omer, and the Pasuk says as well by Avram Avinu, Ve'yavor Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh. Now Avram Avinu also passed that region. It was the Shechem region next to Elon Moreh. So the Gemara says, Ma Elon Moreh Amu Lehalan. Shechem, just like the Elon Moreh that was said by Avraham Avinu, was the one by Shechem. Af Elon Moreh Amu Kan. So Elon Moreh that was said by the curses was also Shechem, which the Mishnah is just trying to find the coordinates exactly where this took place. So it's the Elon Moreh that is next to the city of Shechem, just like we find by Avraham Avinu. Now comes the Gemara and says, what happened? Shisha Shevatim Alu Lerosh Har Gerizim, which means six of the tribes went up to Har Gerizim. Shisha Shevatim Alu Lerosh Har Eval, and six of the other tribes, they went up to Har Eval. And they split them up into the six and six. Vakohanim Valvim Vaharon Omdim Lemata Behemsa, which is the Kohanim, the Leviim, and the Aron itself stood at the foot of the mountains in between the two mountains. And the Mishnah Gemara is going to explain to us what six were on what mountain, what six were on the other mountain, exactly how did they divide it. So the Kohanim and the Levim are now down on the foot of the mountain. Ha-Kohanim makifim et Aaron. the Kohanim were surrounding the Aron, the Leviim with the Kohanim, and the Leviim are surrounding the Kohanim, like circle, Vechor Yisrael Mikan Umikan, and all the Jewish people are on both sides, Shne'emar, Vechor Yisrael Eskenav, Veshotrav, Veshofetav, Omdim, Mize Umize El Aron, all the Jewish people, the leaders were standing on both sides of the Aron, Hafchu Penehem Kelape Har Gerizim, so they turned their faces towards the Leviim, they turned towards Har Gerizim, Upatchu Beberachah, they start broadcasting the Berachot. What was the Berachah? Baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh peseh lo masecha. But blessed is the man that does not make any type of image for Avodah Zarah. Ve'elu ve'elu onim amen. Amen. And both 12 tribes on both mountains will answer amen. Then hafchu p'neim k'lapeh har ha'eval. Then the Levim turned their face to the mountain called har ha'eval. And then what do they say? U'patchu b'kelala. The blessing that they just said, now they say it in a kelala. And they say arur ha'ish. Asher yaaseh pesel umasecha ve'elu ve'elu onim amen. And in both mountains they would answer amen. Ad shegomrim berachot uklalot, until they finish all the berachot. So that was the system. They would start with the kelalot, a berachah, they would say baruch, and everybody would say amen. Then they would turn to Har Eval, they would say the same item they just said in lashon berachah. They would say b'lashon kelala, and everybody would answer amen as well. Har kach heviu et abanim. Oh, then they brought these special stones that they built a mizbeach with it, ubanu with a mizbeach. Okay, after they built the mizbeach, they brought the korbanot, then it says, v'saduhu besid, they put limestone on these special stones, these are 12 stones that they transported with them as they were going into Eretz Yisrael, v'chatvu alav et kol divrei Torah v'shiv'im lashon, and they wrote on these stones the Torah in 70 languages. As the Pasuk says, Shne'emar, Da'er Hetiv. Da'er Hetiv means very clear, very explicit. So the Torah is teaching that there was a mitzvah to rewrite the Torah on these special stones. They left them on the other side of the Jordan River. So everybody should know what the Torah is. And they put the limestone on these, the Gemara will discuss exactly what was the purpose of putting limestone on the stones themselves. V'natlu et abanim, which means they took the mitzvah apart. After they brought olot on the mizbeach and shelamim, and like the Torah says, it says va'alita alav olah, etc. And they took the stones and they made a like a monument of these stones that had the Torah on it. And now it says uba'u velanu bemkoman. Then they went to their place of lodging, which was actually, as she says, in the place called Gilgal, and that's where the stones were erected. Comes the Gemara now and begins its analysis. And the Gemara says, Parashat Sota Minalan, which means, how do you know that Parashat Sota can be done in any language? How do you know the Kohen, when he's reciting these Pesukim, it can be done in any language? So the Gemara says, Dikhti Ve'amar HaKohen La'isha. So the Gemara says, Bechon Lashon Shomer, which means Ve'amar, he says it. He says it whatever language he wants. Okay, so that's the she has a little different text over. He says ve'amar el ha'isha. He takes out the words ve'amar ha'kohen el ha'isha, because really, if you look in the Torah, the pasuk's language is ve'amar el ha'isha. So he just says over there, ma'ikera yadifah b'sipliv ve'lo gersin ve'amar ha'kohen la'isha. Okay, so that's sota. Tanu rabbanan mashmi'in ota bechol lashon shihi shoma'at, which means you say over the words of the sota, which means the Kohen, when he's warning, listen, you know, if you did this, this is going to happen to you, and your stomach is going to swell up, and your legs are going to buckle, and so on and so forth, and all that's done in any language that she understands. Now, what's the purpose of this? So the Gemara says a very strong words here. Alma yishota, ובמה היא שותה, על מה נתמת, ובמה היא נתמת. The Gemara is going to explain each one of these words. Number one, על מה היא שותה, for what reason are you drinking? He explains that to her. The reason why you're drinking, על עסקי כינוי וסירה, which is what brought you to this item over here, was your פריצות, was your promiscuity. Because you acted in an immodest way, you caused your husband to warn you, and then you did not heed his warning. You went and secluded yourself with that exact man over there. So that's what brought you to this over here. Which means, Alma, Amai Sota. The reason why you're drinking is because of the pirisut that you have on yourself. Ubamai Sota. And what are you going to drink in? The Mikidah Shel Cheres, which means you're going to drink in a very ma'us type of keli. Which means because you did something that was disgusting, we're going to give you the drink in a very inferior type of vessel. Mikidah Shel Cheres, that's the earthenware keli. Alma Nitmet. And on what reason, if you did become tameh, which if you actually did do the act, because the water of the sota will determine that, al eske sechok v'yaldut, because you acted in a childish, immature way with tzchok, with the flirtatiousness, and maybe that's what brought you to this over here. The reason why this is done over here is because we want all the ladies that are standing there to learn musaf. So you see exactly what's happening to this today. You want to be very explicit with us. This happened to you because you did this and did that and because you didn't act in a proper tzanuah way and so on and so forth. All the other ladies will receive musar. And then the Gemara says, Ubamahi nitmet, and in what situations does she become tameah? Bishogeg or bimizid, beones or berason. Which means they explain to her that the only way the waters are going to work is what if it was done bimizid, a purpose, meratzon, and was done willingly. However, if it was, for example, shogeget. She was shogeg. I used to be shogeg. Let's say they told her, your husband died. So she thought she wasn't married anymore. So she went with a guy. All of a sudden, after she goes with the guy, they come and tell her, your husband's still alive. That's already shogeget. So they're very clear to listen. The water's going to work only if you did it this way and that way, and not another way. The reason why they do that, it says, because they don't want the people to speak, to cast aspersions on the water. See, if the waters are not going to work, what are the ladies going to say that are standing there? Oh, look at that, the waters don't work. It's a joke, the whole thing. So for the queens, very explicit to everybody. Listen, the waters don't work in all situations. It's got to be a mizid. It's got to be done willingly, as like the Torah said, v'hid lo nitpasa. When we learned in that pasuk over there, it was not done by force. Because if she was done by force, then already the waters are not going through, and so on and so forth. Or she was shogeg, like in the case I told you. This is also to be clear to everybody that's in the gallery watching that you're not going to say, oh, that there's no veracity to the powers of the water. Which means, what the Gemara is asking on this question that she explains, I understand the first three questions. The first three questions is for Musaf. So the people that are watching will say, oh boy, I better be careful not to become like this lady over here. Look what brought her to this. Shok, shok, the kalutrosh. Look at the way they're embarrassing her. But the last question, which is more a halachic question, you should know it's going to work if you did it this way, if you only did it that way. That's more in order to keep the waters, the reputation of the waters clear. You know, nobody will motzilaz on the, right, disparage the powers of the Mesota. Comes the Gemara and says, Vidui Ma'aser. What do we learn? Vidui Ma'aser is done Bechol Lashon. Let's review that again. What's Vidui Ma'aser? That's the confession that the fellow makes in the third year. Let's just review quickly the Lina of Ma'asot. We know there's 7 years of Shemitah cycle. In the first year of the Shemitah cycle, a person has to give Terumah. Terumah goes to the Kohen. Then he gives Ma'aser Rishon, that's 10% to the Levi. Then he takes another 10%, it's called Ma'asir Shni, brings it up to Yerushalayim and eats it in Yerushalayim, where he can redeem it and take the money up to Yerushalayim. In the second year, the same thing applies. In the third year, instead of Ma'asir Shni, he has to give Ma'asir Ani, he gives 10% to the poor people. But in the third year, he has to be up to date. So he has to come along and make a testimony. Listen, I'm up to date, I paid all my taxes. I paid the Ma'asir Yishon, I paid Ma'asir Shni, I did everything. I have no outstanding entitlements that belong to the Levim in my possession. So the Mishnah said that Vidui Ma'aser is done in what language can be done? Bechod Lashon. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? So the Gemara says, Vidui Ma'aser minana dichtiva amarta lefnei Hashem Elohecha be'arti HaKodesh min habayit ve'alif amira nesota. Bechod Lashon shomer. It says amira by the word, by the parashav sota. Right? We learned that already. By Sota, it says, Ve'amar la'isha. Right? The Kohen says to the Isha, and it says, by Vidui Ma'aser Ve'amarta. So just like by Sota, the Amira is Bechol Lashon. So by Vidui Ma'aser, Amira is also done Bechol Lashon. Amar le Rav Zvi Abaye, Ve'lilaf Amira me'Leviim. Why don't you learn Gezerah Shava from the Leviim, from the curses on Har Gezim, and Har Eva, also says Amira. It says over there, Ve'anu ha'Leviim Ve'amiru. And we know Ma Le'alan B'Lashon HaKodesh, Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh, which is if you make it a Gezerah Sheva Amira Amira, you couldn't learn from the Nevi'im. Right? And we said the Berachon Klo were done, Dafka B'Lashon HaKodesh, it also says the word Amirus. The Gemara answers, Danin Amira Geredata, Ma Amira Geredata, Ben Danin Amira Geredata, Me'aniya V'Amira. Right? Which means, if we have a choice to make a Gezerah Sheva, we'd rather learn Amira Ta Amira. Masha'en Ken by the Nevi'im, it says Ve'anua Nevi'im V'Amiru, that's Aniyan Amira. That's not similar to this Amira alone. By Sotaj, it says the word Amiru. By Viduim Afin, it says the word Amiru. By Levi'im, it says V'anu al-Levi'im V'amiru. So therefore, it's better to learn it from Sota. Comes and says, Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer Adam Omer Shebacho Bekol Namoch Ugnuto Bekol Ram. It's proper for a person to praise himself in a low voice and talk, you know, the not nice things about himself. It's better to do that, bekol ram, to talk out loud. Shibcho bekol namok min vidui ma'asir. Right. When it comes to vidui ma'asir, the pasuk says ve'amarta. Now, ve'amarta sounds like he does it in a low voice. Why are we doing a low voice? Because there you're speaking your praises. I gave all my ma'asrot. I gave all my entitlements. Don't say it so loud. Don't pat yourself on the back so loud. Say it in a low voice. Ginuto bekol ram. But things that are disparaging about yourself, it's better to say it, bikul ram. How do we know that? From mikra bikurim. Why? Because in bikurim we talk about our bad ancestry. Who was our original ancestors? Lavan. Lavan tried to kill Yaakov Avinu. Lavan was over there, Avodah Zarah. So our, and the pasuk says by bikurim, ve'anita ve'amarta. Ve'anita means out loud. So the negative things about oneself is proper to say out loud. Whereas the praise is better to say to oneself. And the Gemara says, so you understand the difference, because whenever it says the word Va'anita, Va'anita is mashma, you say it out loud. By Bikurim it says the word Va'anita, because that's Genut. By Viduima, it doesn't say the word Va'anita, it just says Va'amarta. So what does that teach us? You do it in a low voice. Comes the Gemara and asks, Ugnuto Bekolam? Are you telling me that things of Genut you're supposed to say out loud? Va'amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishu Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The same Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, why did the rabbis establish that the tefillah should be done in silence? Which means you prayed Amidah, you prayed in a low voice. If you remember, the Gemara in Berachot taught us that we learned that from Hana, because it says, by Hana vekola lo yishameya. And when she was praying, her voice was not audible. So we learned from over there that when a person prays, it's supposed to be in a low voice. But what's the reason why it should be in a low voice? So the Mishnah Ben Yochai said, "Kedesh shelo lebayesh et ovrei avera," right? Which means when a person is praying, he might be confessing some sins. So we don't want the confessing of the sins to be done out loud. He's going to get embarrassed. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Do it in a low voice, so he should not be embarrassed of his sins." And the Gemara brings a proof to this: "Sharei lo chilei katu makom ben hatat leolav," which means the same place where they slaughtered the korban ola, which is not brought for a sin, is the same place where they slaughtered the Korban Chatat, meaning in the northern part of the Beit HaMikdash, the Tzafon, that's where they slaughtered these two Korban. Now, why did they slaughter the Korban in the same place? Because the Torah wants to protect the kavod of the sinner, which is if they have a separate line where they stand when they bring sins, so everybody's going to know, oh, it's the sinner's line. Everybody's going to know, the guy committed an Avera. So they mix them up with the guys that are from the bringing the Korban Ola, so nobody will know if the guy committed a sin or he's just bringing a Korban Ola. So what do you see from this point over here? You see that things of genut, things of shame, you say in a low voice. So what do you tell Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is contradicting himself. In one place he said that what the genut you're supposed to say in a loud voice. And now he's coming along to say what the genut you say in a low voice. So make up your mind. We'll say it out loud, he's supposed to say it low. So it comes again what on says, Lo tema genuto, Ela ema sa'aro, which means there's a difference. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai that said you're supposed to say something out loud, that's referring to a person's sa'ar, which means when a person is talking about his tsarot, the troubles that went over him, like in the case of Lavan Arami, right? That was a headache plus. Lavan Arami, what he did to us, so his sa'ar, his things of headache, you know, his troubles, he should say out loud. But his genut, but things that are derogatory about himself, he should say in a low voice. So there's a difference between his sa'ar and his genut. Sa'ar is done out loud, genut, like the Amidawi, confessing your sins and things like that, it's better to do it in a low voice, not to be embarrassed. Tanya, like it says in the pasuk by the Mitzorah, which is when the Mitzorah is walking out of the camp, so he has to scream on top of his lungs, and he has to say, Tameh, Tameh. He has to announce to everybody as he's walking out, hey, I am Tameh, I am Tameh. Why does he have to announce that he's Tameh? So the Gemara says, Sarikh Leodiyat Sa'arun Rabim. He has to announce his Sa'ar to the Rabim. He has to let everybody know that he is indeed in distress. Why? The Rabim Bakshim Alav Rahamim. In order that men, that the people will pray for him. So you see, on the contrary, things when a person is in distress, it's a good thing for him to broadcast, to let other people know, so people will be able to pray for him. V'chol mi she'erav o davar, and for that matter, if something happened to a person that was distressful, tzarich le'odi al rabim, he should tell the people, v'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim, in order that what? People will pray for him. In the old days, the custom was, if a person had a tree that was sick, a sickly tree that wasn't growing properly, what did they used to do? They would tie a ribbon on the tree, a red ribbon, so that anybody was walking by, they would say, oh, this guy has a tree that has a problem, they would stop, make a special tefillah. So you see, when it comes to a person's problems, it's a good thing to publicize it, because he'll have the commiseration of other people, and they'll pray for him, and they'll, you know, it'll go away. The classic example that the Gemara brings over here is worthy to make a point. It's the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah, he is already filled with tzaraat all over his body, right? He cannot stay in the camp. He is Tameh. He has to go b'chus tamachaneh. So on the way out, he's screaming to everybody, Tameh, Tameh. Now the simple interpretation why he has to broadcast it to everybody is to get out of the way. He doesn't want to miss Tameh anybody on the way out of the camp. You know, people see him, they don't know what he has. They're shaking his hand and so on and so forth. He has to say, hey, Tameh, Tameh, I'm Tameh. The Gemara learns about to come out from this, that the poor get poorer. Which means it's not enough that the guys of his Mitzorah, but he has to broadcast it. He has to announce it in front of everybody. So it's adding insult to injury. But our Gemara is saying something different. Our Gemara is saying the reason why he has to announce it to the people so the people know that he's in distress, and they'll come and pray for him. Oh, flush him out, feel better, and so on and so forth. So the Hafiz Haim says on this Gemara, he says, I don't understand. We know that there's a rule that a person is better off when he prays for himself more than even if somebody else prays for him. Where do we learn that from? When Yishmael was dying of dehydration, right? When he was with his mother Hagar. So it says that Hagar was praying for her son, and Yishmael was also praying for himself. So the Pasuk says, Ki Shama Hashem et kol hana'ar. God answered Yishmael. So from here we learn that when a person prays for himself, it's more effective. So then the question is, let the Mitzorah pray for himself. What is he trying to enlist other people to pray for my screaming? Hey, Tameh, Tameh, I'm Tameh. Help me, pray for me. Just pray for yourself. That's now I'm going to say an amazing thing. Where is prayer a product of? Prayer is a product of a person's mouth. That's the way we pray to God. Tefillah, the pit. Now, for a prayer to be effective, the mouthpiece of a person has to be in working order. If a person's mouth doesn't work correctly, mouth functions, so then the prayers that are going to come out of it are not going to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the main reasons why a person gets leprosy is because he speaks lashon hara, because he uses his mouth for the wrong things. He maligns people, he spreads gossip and rumors and so on and so forth. So therefore, this mitzorah, his biggest problem is that he has a malfunctioning mouth. And therefore, he can't pray for himself because the mouthpiece is broken. So therefore, he has to now say, listen, I'm stuck. Yeah, you're right. Normally, praying for yourself is better. But that's if you have a mouth. But if the mouth is dirty and the mouth is soiled and the mouth is broken, so therefore, he's tied up. So he has to scream to others, hey, I'm Tameh, Tameh, could you pray for me? And that's why the Mefashim say, if you'll notice that before the higher holidays, specifically before Kippur, before we go to the service of Kippur, the most solemn moment, so to speak, is the Kal Nidre moment. Ask yourself a question, what exactly is this Kal Nidre that we're doing going into Yom Kippur? We're making really a formal Hatarat Nidarim. We're absolving ourselves from all the sins of speech. Kal Nidre, V'neduye, V'harame, V'kunname, V'kunnachay, V'kunnase. These are all different sins of speech, whether we swore falsely, whether we said something wasn't proper, we didn't keep our word. And the question is, why should we open Yom Kippurim with the Kal Nidre? What's the logic? And the explanation is, we're now about to spend the lion's share of the day in synagogue, praying. which means the service of Yom Kippur is done with the mouth. Five tefillot. But before we're going to expend all that energy in the tefillot of Yom Kippur, we better make sure that the mouthpiece is in working order. So therefore we start off, Kal Nidrev, Isurev, Ahara, which means we try to get rid of all the sins that we've committed with our mouth. Now that we're forgiven for that, it's almost as if we recalibrate the mouthpiece. Now already the tefillot will be able to be accepted. But there's another interpretation that we can say over here, which is worthy to mention. On this Gemara, the Gemara says that the Mitzorah, when he's walking out, Tameh Tameh Yikra, right? He says, I am Tameh. So I saw one of the Baalei Musar says a very deep psychological insight on these words of him, Tameh Tameh Yikra. And the general rule is like this. People cannot see their own flaws. The Gemara says, En Adam Ro'en Yi'ei Atzmo. Person cannot see his own flaws. We're all prejudiced. We're all subjective. We cannot see our own deficiencies. However, psychology teaches us that while you might not be able to see it in yourself, a person sees his own flaws in somebody else. This is an amazing concept. Human beings are actually mirrors of themselves. So when a person criticizes somebody for a certain defect, in all probability, he has that defect. That's why he's able to see it in somebody else, because he's seeing the reflection of his own shortcoming in the other person. In English, there's a saying, which people don't pay too much attention to, of the truth of it, but they say it takes one to know one. And that's a very deep concept. It's not just a rhetorical response to somebody. Oh, if you're seeing that in me, that must be you're connected to that, the pigam, to that, the defect itself. And that's why the Gemara says, kol ha-posel b'mumo posel. Anybody that's posel another person, he's really poseling himself. He's indicting himself with that criticism. He's really exposing himself to what he really is. So that's what they want to explain the Gemara. V'tameh tameh yikra. Somebody that is tameh will call somebody else tameh. V'tameh tameh yikra. If a person has certain tuma'ah in him, a certain deficiency, v'tameh. Rest assured, he's not going to see it in himself. When you call Tameh, you have to fix that problem. I don't have that issue. But rest assured, the guy who's Tameh, V'tameh Yikra, he'll call the Tumah to somebody else. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Gufa, we learned above, Amar of Yohanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Min Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Min Yochai taught, Mipnei Ma Teknu Tefillah Belachas. What's the reason why they established the Amidah? That it should be done in a silent tone, Shelo Lebeyesh Et Ovrei Averah. Right? We don't want to embarrass the sinners. Because sometimes, I mean, that you confess sins. We don't want the guy to say it out loud and everybody's going to know, oh, he did this sin, he did that sin. Just like the confession that we make today is also done, Belachash. Sha'areh lohana kakatub makom ben hatat le'ola. Similarly, in the Beit HaMikdash, when a person would bring a Qurban hatat and a Qurban ola, one is for a sin and one is just for a donation, they would bring it in the same area in order not that the sinner is not highlighted. So people will not know what the guy's online for. So comes the Gemara and says, Velo, what are you talking about? Ve'a'ika damim. There is a difference between a Qurban Hatat and a Qurban Ola. That's where you sprinkle the blood. Dam Hatat lema'ala ve'dam Ola lemata. Which means the sprinkling of the blood, the Qurban Hatat on the Mizbeach, on the wall of the Mizbeach, there was a line. That line was called Huta Sikra. Certain korbanos, the blood is sprinkled above the line. Certain is sprinkled below the line. Korban hatat is above the line. Ola is below. So it's going to be revealed, which is when the Kohen sprinkles the blood, everyone's going to know, oh, that's a sinner and that's a, that's a ola. See, the korbanos were identical. So they cannot tell from the korban. Where they stood was identical on the northern side of the Beit HaMikdash. But at the time it is sprinkling, you can embarrass the sinner. Because everybody, when they see that the blood was sprinkled above the line, they say, this was a korban hatat. So I thought you're trying to protect the sinner's kavod. So comes the Gemara and says, "Hatam kohen hu diyada." Now, who are you worried about? The only one that sees the sprinkling is the kohen. We're trying to protect them from the other people, from the bystanders in the Beit HaMikdash that are coming. But the kohen, that's only one guy. We're not too concerned about that issue. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, "Va'ika chatat." What are you talking about? Korban Chatat is brought from the female animal, and a Zachar and Olah is brought from a male animal. So right away, the people will know who the sinner is. Just by looking at the gender of the animal, the people online will know what he's there for. Hatat can only be brought from a Nekeva. So Gemara said, no problem with that. Hatah Mechasya Be'aliyah. No problem. The tail covers the private area of the animal. So nobody really knows if it's a female or not. So comes the Gemara and says, Tina Kevsa. Yeah, that's good if he brings a sheep that has a tail. However, Se'ira, if he brings a goat, Ma'ika Limimar. Now, if he brings a goat, there's no tail on a goat. And it was going to be revealed. The Gemara says, hey, that's not our problem. Hatam iyud necham mechsif nafseh. He did it himself. He embarrassed himself. Nobody told him to bring a goat. He should have brought a sheep. If he brought a goat, he embarrassed himself. So we're going to protect the guy, but if the guy doesn't want to protect his own image, so we can't help him. Understand? Which means if the guy wants to bring a female animal, let him bring a sheep. So he won't be embarrassed. Nobody looks at the animal because the back of the animal is covered. So come on, well, let's say he brings a goat. Who told him to bring a goat? He could have got away with bringing a sheep. He embarrassed himself. The Gemara says, yeah, that's not good. But there's one type of sin that you have to bring a goat. That's Avodah Zarah. Also, therefore, what are you doing? He has no choice but to bring a goat. He's going to get embarrassed because everybody's able to see the gender of the animal. They're going to see that it's a female. And what's going to happen? They're going to have claims. They're going to say, oh, he's a sinner. Comes the Gemara and says, Hatam nechsiv v'nezil, ki echi d'nechapel. On the contrary, there we want him to be embarrassed. You know why? We'd be kapara for him. Jeez, Avodah Zarah is a major sin. So the more we can embarrass him, we'd rather embarrass him. Now, Tosafot has a question over here. Tosafot says, if you want to embarrass the guy by Avodah Zarah, not only should he be bring the goat, which is going to embarrass him, because everybody's going to know that it's a female for sin, they should put him on a different location. So everybody will know. So Tosfot comes and answers that no, yesh tovar kevan shahalaka katub bedavar echad yesh hekev bedavar matzarich yoter. Once he's exposed, what do I care? The point is, he exposed him already. Once they know already he's a sinner, what do I care about putting him on a separate line already? To expose him twice, he's exposed already. Then you don't need to do it any more than that. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Kriyat Shema Minalan. How do you know the Kriyat Shema is able to be read in any language? Minalan dichtiv Shema Yisrael. From the word Shema Yisrael, they learn. In any language that you understand. Shema is in any language that you understand, that you perceive, you can say the Shema. In the Tanur Rabbanan, Kriyat Shema, Kichtava. According to this Braita, Kriyat Shema can only be read in the way it was written, meaning B'lashon, because Devrei Rabbi. V'achamim omrin b'chol lashon. So we have a fantastic amount of everything with Rabbi, and Hachamim, in what language can Kriyat Shema be read? According to Rabbi, it's read in Lashon, according to Hachamim, Zavka, Bechol Lashon. So comes the Gemara and says, "My ta'amad Rabbi, what's the reason according to Rabbi? Amar kera vehayu behavayatanyu. Means vehayu adivrim ha'ele. They should be in its way. What's its way? Lashon Hakodesh. Verabbanan amar kera shema bechol lashon shata shomaya. Good. They learn from the word shema any language that you understand. Verabbanan nemehaktiv vehayu. What do the rabbis do with the word?" From there we learn that you have to read the Kriyat Shema in order. You cannot read the words out of order. How does Rabbi know that you can't read the words out of order? From the extra he. My goodness, my devarim. The extra he. Had devarim teach me that you have to read it in order. You cannot read it. The rabbis do not doresh the extra he. Which means that extra is not mashma to them, this derasha. So therefore, they learn the mafleh from the words value. Now we go the other way. Oh, what about Rabbi? Rabbi, what do you do with the word shema? Shema, it's mashma in any language that you understand. So what do they do with that word? So comes the Gemara and says, from there they learn that you have to say the Kriyat Shema out loud. Your ears have to hear the Shema. So Shema. Rabbanan, on the rabbis, what do they do with the word? How do they know that you have to say the Kriyat Shema out loud? They say you don't have to say it out loud. And therefore, they hold if you didn't say it out loud, you'll say. So therefore, they use Shema for Bechol Lashon She'ata Shomaya. They don't go there. You have to say the Kriyat Shema out loud. That is an interesting musar on this piece of Gemara as well. So basically, we have a machlok at Rabbi and Hakim. Can you say the Kriyat Shema in any language or not. Halakha l'maaseh, we are posek that you can say Kiryat Shema in any language, but it's not advisable because there are a lot of words in the Kiryat Shema that don't lend themselves to interpretation. For example, the auxiliary word it. How do you explain it in English? It's a hard word to interpret. And for that matter, there's a lot of dirashot in the Hebrew that does not lend itself to the English. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah advises that even though you can say it in any language, it's better to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, and you will be yotzeh with all the kavanot that are laden in the words themselves. But there's a musar on this. The Gemara says, Shema, Hashmeya le'oznecha ma she'atam motzi mipicha, which means let your ears hear what you are speaking. A lot of times people find themselves contradicting themselves. So the person will be a preacher and then he preaches all sorts of lofty ideals, right? But then when it comes to his own behavior, he doesn't follow through. So the Pasuk is coming to tell us over here, Shema Hashmeya le'oznecha ma she'atam motzi mipicha, let your ears hear what you're saying. In the Tefillah we say, Ki hem chayenu ve'orech yamenu, that the Torah is our life. And we're going to study Torah day and night. How many people say that countless times a day? Where are they in the Beit Midrash? How come they're not coming to study? How come they're not coming to learn? We might tell these people over here, right after they say that, we always say Shema. What is the Shema? Listen to what you just said. You just said, we're going to learn Torah day and night. You don't learn Torah day and night. And therefore, we're inconsistent in our, it's very easy to verbally make these declarations, but to actually follow them through is another story. Comes to give it a little further and says, now, Lema Kasabar Rabbi. Let us say that Rabbi was the opinion that said that what? That Kiryat Shema has to be read in Lashon HaKodesh. Right? Kichtava. So give it a says, Lema Kasabar Rabbi. כל התורה כולה, כל התורה בכל לשון נאמרה. Let us say that the Rebbe must hold that the whole Torah, when it was given to be read in any language. That's why you need a pasuk by Kiryat Shema to tell me that Kiryat Shema is the exception only in Lashon HaKodesh. Because the rest of the Torah can be read in, all the other ceremonies can be read in any language. The Yisra Kadar Nagbe Lashon HaKodesh, the thing they tell me that the Torah when it was given to say over Be Lashon HaKodesh Ne'emra only, Vayu Dechtiv Lachmana Lamali. What do I need a pasuk of Vayu by Kiryat Shema? If the whole Torah was given over Dafka to the recitation to be done by Lashon HaKodesh, what do I need a special pasuk by Kiryat Shema to tell me that it has to be done by Lashon HaKodesh? Ela must be that the whole Torah was given over, that it could be read even in another language. That's why you need a pasuk of Vayu by Kiryat Shema to say that this is the exception that it has to be done Dafka Belashon HaKodesh. Gemara says, no, it's tarich meshum dichtiv shema. No, I can tell you really the Torah was given over to be read dafka Belashon HaKodesh. Also, if that's the case, we don't need the pasuk of Vehayu by Kiryat Shema. No, because they have another word Shema. From the word Shema, I would have thought it could be done in any language. That's why I need the word Vehayu to offset the Rasha of Shema. Lema kasabre rabbanan. Maybe the rabbis hold, let us say, Kol haTorah kula b'Lashon HaKodesh ne'emara. When the Torah was given over to be read specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. The Yisra Kadadak Mechon Lashon, because if you wanted to, the Torah was given over to be read in any language, Shema tikatav rahman alamali. We don't need the word of Shema. Shema teaches that you can read Shema in any language. But the whole Torah can be read in any language. So it must be what? When the Torah was given over only in Hebrew. And that's why I have a special pasuk by Kiryat Shema to tell me, but this is the extent that it can be read even in any language. The Gemara says, no. I can tell you really the Torah was given over to be read in any language. So what do we need the pasuk by? Shema is tarich meshum dichti vayu. To offset the word vayu, because vayu would have told me that has to be done after by the Sunnah. So Shema offsets that language. So therefore, basically what the Gemara is saying, you have no proof from what they hold by Kiryat Shema to the way the Torah was given over. There's two ways to say the Torah was given over. One, Shita, since the Torah was given over to be said, Dafka b'Lashon HaKodesh, all the recitation of the Torah can be done only in Hebrew. Some say, no, once the Torah was given over to be done in any language. So we wanted to make this machlok, and how the Torah was given over, based on the machlok between the B and the Banan by Kiryat Shema. We wanted to say like this, the opinion that says Shema can be read in any language, they must say that the Torah was given over specifically for Hebrew, and that's why you have a special Dirasha by Shema, to tell me Shema is the exception. You must say, no. The reason why I needed the Rashab for Shema, because you would have thought, since it says Vahayu by Shema, it also has to be done in Rashab HaKodesh, that's why you need to offset the value to say Shema. And the opposite by Rabbi. Rabbi says that the Torah was given, that Shema has to be done Dafka by Rashab HaKodesh. It means the Torah must have been given over in any language, and that's why I need a special pasuk by Shema to tell me it's Dafka by Rashab HaKodesh. He says, no, we like it, the Torah was given over by Rashab HaKodesh. We don't need a pasuk by Shema.
Because to offset the word Shema, because Shema would have told me any language, so I need the words value to teach me Dafka. Then we cannot make these two machloket interdependent to each other. Baruch Hava Le'olam. Amen. Amen.